The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start today off with a couple of giggles. Laughter, the best medicine. God is speaking to Moses. God, I've got good news and bad news. Moses, give me the good news first. The good news is that you have been chosen to deliver my people from bondage. I will force the Pharaoh to free the people by sending plagues of locusts, frogs, darkness, devastation, and more. The Pharaoh's army will chase you all the way to the Red Sea, but don't worry. I will help you part the waters to aid your escape. Moses, so what's the bad news? God, you have to repair the environmental impact statement. The opposite of mermaid is landlady. The opposite of formaldehyde is casual de Jekyll. The opposite of Iceland is water, water. Did you hear about the Energizer Bunny? He got arrested for battery. A husband and wife go to see a marriage counselor. At the start of their session, the counselor asks them what the problem is. The wife starts listing every issue the couple has ever had in the 15 years they've been married. She goes on and on and on. When she's finally done, the counselor gets up, embraces the woman, and kisses her passionately. The woman is stunned. The counselor then turns to the husband and says, "That is what your wife needs at least 3 times a week. Can you do that?" The husband thinks for a moment before he replies, "Well," he says, "I can bring her here on Mondays and Wednesdays, but Fridays I golf. I finally make enough money to be able to put a television in each room of my home. I live in a studio apartment." Everyday miracles. Putting a ring back on it. It was July 2014. We were building a smaller house and getting ready to move when my husband became very ill. He had to spend 9 weeks in assisted living, leaving me to do everything in our new home. By nighttime, I felt as I was moving in slow motion. One such evening, as I reached for some lotion from our aged hands, I noticed that my bluebird diamond wedding ring, which I had worn for more than half a century, was missing. My finger was naked. I was devastated. I looked in every drawer, every closet in the car. No luck. My family told me to retrace my steps. That would be a task for that day. I had closed a bank account, taken my car in to get it fixed, and gone for an eye exam, only to find out I needed cataract surgery. I sat, feeling numb. My mind wandered back in time to when I had caught my first glimpse of the man I married. I was 5 years old. There wasn't any kindergarten in those days, and my mom often encouraged me to tag along with my dad. That particular day, he was going to get freight at the depot in Highmore, South Dakota, a city of only a few hundred people. As we drove down in our pickup truck, we came upon a large herd of black Angus cattle being driven near the roadside. They were going from West River to New Underwood near Rapid City for water and pasture. The man in charge told my dad as we passed him. I was looking at the youngest rider. He seemed to be about 9 years old. I waved to him, but he just tended to the cattle. Perhaps he was shy. Next, my memory traveled to my senior year in high school. The most exciting thing to do in those days was to dress up and walk the streets of Highmore with my classmates. It was on such a day that a black hardtop car went by real slow. A passenger yelled, "Girls, do you want to ride around with us?" I could hardly believe it. Among the people in the car was a young cowboy who hadn't responded to my wave 13 years before, but he wasn't ignoring me now. So our love affair began. He offered me the ring a few months later. The diamond was small, but my future husband chose it for its perfection and shine. The daydream passed. My daughter Jan called. "Mom, I'm coming this weekend to see you and Dad. You should shop for a new ring." She was determined. "Where do you want to go?" she asked. "A pawn shop," I said, and told her there was one close by. At the shop, we found 5 jewelry cases to look through. This would be an exercise in patience. We picked out 3 rings in the first case. One was too big, another too small, and the third too expensive. So we continued to the next case, and this time I chose 2 rings. 2 more rings. I picked up the first as I slipped it on my finger and I shouted, "Here's my lost ring, my bluebird diamond. See how it just fits?" Everyone in the store turned to the young man helping us. He got a magnifying glass out and said, "It is a bluebird. I want to know how my ring ended up there," so the police had to get involved. Weeks later, I called from an officer who told me that a girl had found it in the mall parking lot. I'm still in awe that I found my ring. How did I know to go to that pawn shop? Was it intuition? The work of angels? Just curiosity. I'm not sure I'll ever know. But I did learn that sometimes things are gone for a while before they reappear to be claimed. Just like my man. And just like my ring. And now we go to the cover story for this month. Don't waste your money on these 23 things. And there's a roll of dollar bills, $10 bills, and $20 bills lit up like candles. And unfortunately, it's a $5 bill. The $5 bill is burned down almost to a stub. Avoid unforced spending errors will let you save for the stuff you really want. It's easy to get into a spending rut, buying the same stuff you've always bought out of habit or just because your mom always had that kind of soup in her pantry. But sometimes the same old can cost you, whether we're talking about everyday purchases, monthly bills, or occasional big-ticket items. In many cases, making a simple swap can save you money, time, and even headaches. We check with the experts in more than a dozen fields to find out what you should stop wasting your money on and what to spend it on instead. Runaway AC and heat. According to EnergyStar.gov, a typical U.S. household spends more than $2,200 a year on energy bills, with nearly half going to heating and air conditioning. A programmable thermostat can save you 10% a year on your cooling and heating bills, says Mary Feller, senior editor of Consumer Reports. Set your thermostat 7 to 10 degrees higher on warmer days and the same amount lower on chilly days, and see whether the money you save doesn't feel better than being slightly warmer or slightly cooler than you're used to. Even easier, make these adjustments when you plan to be out of the house. Supermarket flowers. They might look pretty, but resist the temptation to buy bouquets kept in buckets of water near the produce. Some fruits and vegetables give off ethylene gas, which can shorten flowers' lives, says Amy Stewart, author of Flower Confidential, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. Instead of lasting a couple weeks, unrefrigerated flowers near the produce section are likely only to last a few days, she says. If you want flowers that will stay fresh longer, buy blooms that have been kept in a refrigerator. Skip the Gerberum daisies, hydrangeas, dahlias, gardenias, and sweet peas, which probably start wilting within 5 days. Instead, choose Oriental or Asiatic lilies, chrysanthemums, garden roses, gladiolas, or sunflowers. And there's a picture of a beautiful bouquet. Fancy sheets, a high thread count, and accompanying high price tags don't necessarily mean the softest or best sleeping sheets. According to the product testing group Wirecutter, sheets with thread counts in the 200 to 300 range should be plenty soft and durable. Its top pick for bargain price sheets is Target's Threshold line, which costs $50 for a queen set, far less than the hundreds or even thousands of dollars you can pay for premium bed linens. Large rugs. A lot of work goes into weaving a good quality handmade rug, and the price can skyrocket should go up in size. For example, a 4x7-foot Turkish rug might be $300, but an 8x10 version could cost $2,000. To save money but get the look, Rebecca Hawkins, president and buyer for furniture retailer Kelladon Helm, suggests trying a decoration technique called laying. Buy a large rug in an inexpensive material such as sasal, jute, or seagrass for around $200, then place a smaller, more expensive rug on top, like that 4x7 Turkish model. Results, you spent $500 instead of $2,000. Designers and home stagers use this a lot to save a bundle, Hawkins says. New sticker price car. You should get a good discount on a new car without having to rely solely on your negotiating skills. One secret is timing. Watch for low or 0% interest on loans, cashback offers, and special lease terms. Cashback offers can even be as high as $10,000, said Ivan Drury, senior manager of insights at the automotive research site Edmunds.com. Every month, there are new incentives available from every automaker. It's pretty rare that someone looking for a car has no incentive available. You can check current rebates by making and model at Edmunds.com, JDPower.com, and NADAGuides.com. The best time to buy a new car is at the end of the model year, usually August or September, or at the end of the calendar year. The regular deals didn't happen in 2020 because of the pandemic and the resulting auto shortages. But generally, buying at the end of the month does yield a better deal, says Drury. The reasons. Many dealerships receive monthly volume bonuses, meaning they get additional money back from the automaker if they sell a certain number of vehicles in a month. You probably won't get a giant discount, but you can likely get another $200 or so knocked off the sticker price. Don't be lured by a holiday sale at the beginning or middle of the month, says Drury. These holiday deals are usually incentives you can get all month, so it still makes sense to wait until the end of the month to save a bit more. Travel rewards cards. If you've historically put all of your charges on a credit card that pays you in travel rewards, you might want to use another card right now. While you're probably traveling less or not at all, says Loretta Dolan, a financial planner in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, if you pay an annual fee for that card, call to see if the company will waive it or at least consider canceling the card. Every credit card in your wallet right now should be earning its keep, and if you're not traveling like you used to, you might do better putting charges on a card that's going to, say, pay for you 3% cash back on the money you spend at grocery stores and drugstores, Nolan says. Homeowners insurance. One with a low deductible. That is, raising a $500 deductible to $1,000 can cut your annual premium by up to 25%, said Mark Friedlander, Director of Corporate Communications for the Insurance Information Institute, a nonprofit consumer education group. Have monitored burglar alarm or fire alarm systems? Some insurers will knock 10 to 20% off your annual homeowner's premiums for that. Ask your agent about any other discounts you might be missing. And car insurance. There's a similar savings step with your car. Increase the $250 deductible to $1,000 and you can save up to 40% on your premiums. At the same time, sniff around to see whether you have earned any discounts that could save you even more. If you're driving less than you used to due to the COVID-19 pandemic, ask your insurer whether you qualify for a low mileage discount, which might cut your auto premiums by 10 to 15%. Bundling your home and auto policies with the same company, if you haven't already, could save you an additional 15 to 20% on each policy. Then pay your premiums in full up front instead of using a payment plan, and you might save another 10%. Even if you are maxing out all your available discounts, it still pays to shop your insurance coverage around every year or two, getting at least three quotes to see if you can better get a better deal. In a study by the Texas Insurance Department, people saved an average of $125 per year on auto policies just by comparing rates. An independent agent can help you with those comparisons. Find one through the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and check comparison shopping sites such as Insurer.com, NetQuote.com, and SelectQuote.com. Spring flowers. When you buy in the spring, you're paying full price for all your plants, says Renee Mars, a designer and teacher at the New York Botanical Garden. Buy in summer or even fall, because nurseries don't want to manage those plants through the summer heat or have to overwinter them. By waiting, you can easily save 20 to 50% or more. Don't get carried away by the spring flower bling, Marsh says. Supermarket stocked. In the kitchen, try this easy cooking hack. Save your chicken, beef, and pork bones to make your own nutritious broth. Put your bones and vegetable scraps in a big pot, cover it with water, bring to a boil, then simmer for a few hours, all day if you can. A splash, about an ounce of vinegar, helps draw the nutrients from the bones. Your homemade creation will be tastier and contain more vitamins and minerals and less sodium than a store-bought stock. Research has shown that bone broth protects bones and joints, fights inflammation, and promotes a better sleep. It will also save you money, as store-bought stock typically costs $2 to $3 per quart. Use your homemade broth as a flavorful base for soups, sauces, and gravies, or as a cooking liquid for rice or quinoa. Extra-fast internet. Companies such as Xfinity and Google offer home internet speeds up to 2,000 megabytes or 2 GPS. But unless you are a hardcore online gamer, that blazing fast service is probably a waste of money. The Federal Communications Commission recommends internet speeds of 12 to 15 megabytes per second for most of families, even those who stream games or videos. You won't see a big difference in your everyday browsing speed, but you'll see a difference in your bank account. For example, the service in White Plains, New York, where the Reader's Digest offices are located, Xfinity charges as little $40 per month for download speeds of 100 megabytes per second, $80 for 1,000 megabytes per second, and a whopping $300 for 2,000 megabytes per second. Repair-prone auto. Before you choose your next ride, trust the True Cost to Own calculator at Edmunds.com to find out how much different models would cost you over time. Information includes purchase price, repairs, depreciation, insurance, fuel, and more based on your zip code and 5 years of ownership. For example, Houston buyers purchasing a 2020 Honda Civic 2-door LX Coupe can expect to pay $12,339 over those 5 years. That's $4,541 for fuel, $7,127 for insurance, and $671 for repairs. while a BMW 330i could run 17,440. $65.84 for fuel, part of the reason you have to use premium fuel, $8,275 for insurance, always more on an expensive car, and $2,585 for repairs. Of course, check with your insurers to see the rates for particular models. Energy-guzzling appliances. Older dishwashers, refrigerators, and other essential appliances use a lot more energy and water than newer models, especially those with ENERGY STAR certification from the Environmental Protection Agency. For example, a dishwasher with an ENERGY STAR label uses 3.5 gallons of water or less per cycle, compared with more than 10 gallons used by some older models. ENERGY STAR certified washing machines clean clothes using 33% less water and 25% less energy than standard washers, while certified clothes dryers use 20% less energy than other models. So if your existing model is on its way out and you're looking to upgrade, choose an energy efficient replacement for long-term savings. One-job kitchen gadgets. Tempted as you might be after watching the infomercial, most of the kitchen tools that do just one job are not only a waste of money, but also wind up taking precious drawer or counter space. Think avocado slicer, banana slicer, garlic peeler, etc. To do most food prep, says the professional foodies at Food & Wine, all you need are three good gadgets: a chef's knife, a paring knife, and a serrated knife. Investment fees. Because interest rates are so low, you're not making much on your money market funds or bank accounts now, says financial planner Nolan. To help make that up, make sure you're paying the lowest fees possible on investments like mutual funds and ETFs, exchange-traded funds. A simple way to do this is to check expense ratios, the amount of funds assets that go towards administrative and management costs of the holdings in your 401k, IRA, and other investment accounts, then see whether similar funds charge less. For example, Vanguard's S&P 500 Index Fund, symbol is VFIAX, and Invesco's Standard & Poor's 500 Index Fund, SPIAX, both mirror the performance of the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. But the Vanguard Fund has an expense ratio of 0.04%, while the Invesco Fund charges 0.54%. If you invested $10,000 in each for 10 years, earning an average of 9.8% a year, you'd have $2,590 more using the lower-cost Vanguard choice. To research your fees and funds with lower ones, consult a financial website such as Morningstar.com. If you have a 401k, ask the Employee Relations Department for that information. A big lawn. Spend a lot less on yard care by getting rid of some of your lawn, or never growing one to start with. By growing native plants instead of the usual grass, you can save two kinds of green. After they're established in your garden, they don't need constant watering, they don't need any fertilizer, and they're more pest and disease resistant, so you save on pesticides, says Kim Ehrman, a certified horticulturist and the founder of the EcoBeneficial.com, a gardening education website. One study by the EPA found that the cost of maintaining 1 acre of native prairie or wetland plants, such as grasses, totaled $3,000 over 20 years. Maintaining the same size lawn covered in traditional turf would set you back around $20,000, even more for a larger lawn. Credit repair services. Don't fall prey to sales pitches from companies that promise they can fix your credit score for you. There are all kinds of services out there that claim they have ways to get negative information removed. Andrew Pizor, an attorney at the National Consumer Law Center, told Money Magazine. But there are only a few legitimate repairs that can be done, such as updating old information or correcting errors on your credit reports, all things you can do yourself for free. To improve your score, you should also try to pay down any debt you're carrying, such as credit card balances, and pay all your bills on time, says Keith Grumbacher, vice president of HSH.com, a mortgage information website. That would get you better a FICO score in a few months and a better interest rate on mortgage, credit card, or any loan. Someone with a FAIRS credit score of 640 might pay about a full percentage point more than mortgage than someone with a very good credit score of 740 or more, says Gumbinger. Storage bins. Organizing guru. There's a picture here of a bunch of cups with pills in them and dollar bills rolled up and quarters. Organizing guru Marie Kondo suggests using shoeboxes to organize such items as T-shirts, socks, and tools in your drawer and closet. If you're decluttering, these freebies can save you quite a bit, considering that shoebox-sized bins from the Container Store cost $5 or more apiece. And they got pennies and pills and everything else in there. That one pill looks familiar to me. I think I've taken that one. Name-brand pet beds. Buying generic can save you as much as 85% on prescription drugs, and the same goes for your furry family members. Ask your veterinarian whether a generic substitute might work for a drug your pet needs. Ideally, getting a written prescription and compare the amount their vet charges with the prices you find at drugstores and big box stores. Many pharmacies fill pet prescriptions if they stock the same medication for humans. Discount programs, including those offered at most big chain stores, may also help. GoodRx says using one of its coupons may save you as much as 80% off the retail price of pet prescriptions. For instance, gabapentin, a medication used to control seizures, cost about $10 for 90 300 milligram capsules with GoodRx, where the average cash price is more than $70. Full price furniture. The biggest sales at furniture stores typically take on place in certain holidays, President's Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day, and also at the end of the year, says Chris Gobb, head of brand marketing at home furnishings and retailer Raymour & Flanigan. A smart strategy is to shop before these holidays to check prices and then wait to buy at the holiday sales, when much of the inventory could be at least 10 to 20% cheaper. If you want to save even more, ask about buying floor samples, says Gobb. Typically, our floor samples are discounted 30% to 50% during holiday sales. And I was fortunate when I first got married to have a family friend who worked as a wholesaler in the furniture business. And so we were able to go to Winston-Salem and to the factory at Winston-Salem and buy some very, very high-quality furniture at an extremely low rate. And the interesting thing was that he informed us that furniture sold out of a store is generally marked up 100 to 150%. And the reason for that is all their overhead, having to store all that furniture before they sell it. So that's something to be conscious of, too. Large outdoor plants. A plant in a 3-gallon pot looks nice and big, but it has usually been repotted a number of times, so the root structure has been compromised, says Marsh of the New York Botanical Garden. When you're looking for plants to grow in your yard, think smaller. A 1-gallon potted plant has a healthier root system that will allow you to catch up to the bigger plants in a season or two, plus is a fraction of the cost. Or grow even smaller and buy plant plugs, tiny plants with deep root systems. Within a growing system or two, they will be the equivalent of almost any case of a plant you paid 5 times as much for that comes in a 1-gallon pot, says horticulturist Ironman. For example, a Lidadera benzoin or northern spicebush shrub can cost $29 in a 1-gallon pot, while 5 plugs of the same shrub cost $25. Replacement tires in pairs. Tires usually don't go flat in pairs, but the salesperson at the store will tell you that you need to buy them 2 at a time. Unless the tire on the opposite side of the one being replaced has less than 75% of its tread, said the experts at Family Handyman, you don't necessarily have to change it at the same time. Box springs. If you're shopping for a new mattress, but your box spring isn't broken, don't let the salesperson talk you into buying one. That'll save roughly $150 to $300 if you're buying a queen mattress, the most popular size, says Consumer Reports testers. Those testers also said that you'd be able to get a good quality mattress for less than $700, including innerspring models, which tend to be more popular than the cheaper foam mattresses and cost far less than the thousands of dollars many brand-name manufacturers charge for some models. Pint-sized food fights. My toddler just spent 5 minutes explaining that he can't use his imagination because he traded it to a kid at daycare for some fruit snacks. My 9-year-old didn't want to try my lemon loaf, but when I rebranded it as lemonade cake, he was interested. The family that grew from grief. And there's a picture here of a woman, an older woman, gray hair, Anglo-Saxon, obviously, and white. She's surrounded by her 8 children, and they range in age from probably about 4 or 5, all the way up to obviously a fairly old teenager. And there looks like there's at least 2 or 3 different races involved. In October 19th, 2016, 41-year-old Bobby Floyd, well, maybe she's not as old. She's just got gray hair. Well, I guess that many kids, it helps with that. And went to Penn's Landing in Philadelphia and released dozens of balloons. The occasion was more somber than celebratory. She was honoring her late husband on the 2-year anniversary of his death. As she and her 2 sons, ages 8 and 13, watched the colorful balls float up to the heaven, they thought of a missing member of their family and of the motorcycle accident that had taken him away from them. Later that same day, Floyd's phone rang. It was a social worker asking whether she was willing to foster 2 sisters aged 7 and 11. Floyd and her husband had talked about adding to their family, a dream she had initially thought had gone with him. But about a year later, she reconsidered and signed up to become a foster mother. I was lonely, she says, and fostering is not adopting. That was my mentality. I'm just fostering these kids, loving them and giving them, then giving them back. And now at last, the call had come. Floyd was happy to take in both girls, but when she opened her door to greet them, there were three children, not two. The girl's brother, Lysander, 9, also needed a foster family. Floyd agreed to take him in as well. Siblings often get separated in the foster care system, and she wanted to prevent that, even if she only had three bedrooms. Per her fostering agreement, Floyd took the kids in every three months to family court in case their biological parents were ready to take them back. Each time, the judge extended the foster agreement for another 3 months. Meanwhile, the longer the kids stayed with Floyd, the more they grew to trust her. They wrote notes saying they wanted to stay here, she says. Months turned into a year. When Floyd learned that her three kids had three more siblings, a sister and two brothers in the foster system, she decided to make room for them, too. We started adding bunk beds and making lofts, she says. For some of the siblings, Floyd's house was their 9th foster home. I just kept seeing this family getting tossed around in the system, she says. So I figured, why not take them all? When Serenity, one of the three girls, asked if she officially adopt them, Floyd couldn't say no. Her two biological sons were on board. Last year, the adoption became financial. became official, sorry about that, for 4 of the 6 kids. It's almost complete for the other 2. Then Floyd will be the mother of 8, ages 5, 6, 9, 11, 12, 13, 15, and 17. We're like a well-oiled machine, she says. In the kitchen, we're sliding and grooving. We glide in and out of bathrooms. We make it work. Just a few years ago, Floyd was a lonely widow mother of 2. She can't help but think that her late husband had a hand in her life's transformation, especially since the phone call from the social worker came on the anniversary of his death. I feel like he was saying, here, take these kids. Get busy. Stop crying. And I was busy, but I was still crying. Then he was like, here's 3 more kids. Take them. Now I have no time to cry, so I just laugh and play and yell all day. Then I wake up and do it again. And with that, we're going to switch over to Consumer Reports. As I mentioned last week, part of the problem with this month's Consumer Reports is that it's the auto edition. And while I know quite a few of our listeners, in fact, probably most of you, don't drive, you have family members, husbands, spouses, wives, good friends, cousins, brothers, etc., that do drive that might like some of this information. So we're going to run through it, just if nothing else, to fill up your day. The most satisfying cars on the market. We asked CR members how they feel about their cars. The survey results offered shoppers important insights as they searched for the perfect vehicle match. Knowing how much you might like or even love your next vehicle would be a pretty valuable insight as you go about researching your next car purchase. Enter CR's predicted owner satisfaction scores. Every year we ask our members in our annual auto surveys whether they buy the same car again if given a chance. And I actually have filled out one of those. The survey also queries owners about their satisfaction with several specific aspects of their car ownership experience, such as comfort, driving, and ease of use when it comes to in-car electronics. Based on the responses, we calculated a predictor owner satisfaction score each year for new models. We believe our findings, based on the experience of an actual car owner with 1 to 3-year-old vehicles, offer valuable insights to help you make a successful match with your next new car. If you want to know how owners like living with a car, says Jake Fisher, Senior Director of Auto Testing at CR, ask how they feel about the qualities and features after the initial excitement of a new car wears off. The following pages contain results of our most recent survey, including the 2021 models predicted to be the most and least satisfying overall, as well as results in 6 key areas. You also find brand-level satisfaction scores, some of which might surprise you. In additional notes, we've contacted automakers about our findings, and you can find their comments at cr.org/satisfaction0321. And for more details on how we divide the scores, we'll have to check on page 57, which you might do. And there's a listing here. I'll run through these. These are the scores now. The top was Tesla Model 3, Kia Telluride, Tesla Model S, Tesla Model V, Mazda MX-5 Miata, Lincoln Aviator, Lincoln Corsair, Toyota Prius, Jeep Gladiator, Tesla Model X. The lowest scores were Mazda CX-3, Nissan Kicks, Infiniti QX80 and Infiniti QX50, Jeep Compass, Nissan Pathfinder, Chevrolet Trax, Infiniti Q50, boy, Infiniti got killed on this, Ford EcoSports, and Toyota CHR. In-car electronics. Slow responder, glitching, and over-complex infotainment systems Samsons continue to be a bugaboo for owners of some traditionally beloved and high-performance luxury vehicles and brands. When CR members were asked how satisfied they were with the ease of the use of their infotainment system, two models from Lexus, two from Infiniti, and one from Acura took the bottom five spots in the category. Three-row SUVs. The battle among automakers to pick the best version of these family haulers has been especially intense in recent years. But when it comes to interior comfort, CR members told us they were slightly more satisfied with models in the less expensive, non-luxury category, such as the Kia Telluride. While those are considered to be luxury, such as the Volvo XC90, all three-row SUVs scored average or above for comfort. But buyers should consider whether it's really worth spending the extra money, an average of about $20,000, for not much gain. Most satisfying brands. With historic reliability concerns but an intensely loyal following, Tesla took the top spot for overall owner satisfaction among the 27 brands mentioned in the survey responses. Lincoln, Ram, and Chrysler rounded out the top four. These domestic names beat the likes of Porsche, Lexus, and other luxury brands when owners were asked whether they would buy their same vehicle again. But like Tesla, they have the tendency to have reliability problems on newer models. Keep in mind, however, that the new car satisfaction is based upon the first 3 years of ownership, when the cars are still under warranty and often before more serious issues crop up. Infiniti. Though Infiniti is often considered an interloper in the luxury groupings, it really laid an egg in this year's survey. It finished at or near the bottom across numerous factors, including value, and when owners were asked whether they would buy their vehicle again. The Ford EcoSport. This subcompact crossover SUV with a distinctive tall stance finished second to last when owners were asked whether they would buy their vehicle again. And it scored near the bottom among all new models in the specific categories of comfort, driving, and styling. What qualities in a car matter to you? A high overall owner satisfaction score, based on whether owners said they would buy the same car over again, is a good indication that a car does a lot right in the eyes of its owners. But you give a certain factors more weight than others. Maybe looks are especially important to you, or perhaps you care about the value above all else. It may be worth giving an extra close look to cars that satisfy you in ways that matter to you most. Value. Jetta owners spoke of the reasonable price, fairly good number of features. A G70 owner summed it up many member comments. Great value for the money, with maximum safety and convenience and features included. But multiple 3 Series owners reported being unhappy with the price of their vehicle. The most satisfying compact car was the Volkswagen Jetta. The luxury most satisfying luxury compact car was the Genesis G70. The most satisfying sporty car was the Dodge Challenger, and the most satisfied compact SUV was the Mitsubishi Outlander. The least satisfying compact car was the Toyota CHR. The luxury compact car that was least satisfying was the BMW 3 Series. The sporty car was the Porsche 718 Boxster / Cayman, as unsatisfactory, and the compact SUV was the Jeep Compass. Comfort. Mazda 3 owners told us that their car was comfortable and quiet, and fun and the right size. Similarly, Legacy owners noted the comfort and the room of their cars. Many Bolt owners noted the front seat comfort could be improved and terrible front seats. Most satisfying compact car was the Mazda 3. The most satisfying mid-size large car was the Subaru Legacy. The most satisfactory for comfort was the compact SUV was the Mitsubishi Outlander. And the mid-size two-row SUV Nissan Murano was also satisfied for comfort, as was the three-row SUV Kia Telluride. Those that were least satisfying as comfort was the Chevrolet Bolt, the Nissan Maxima, the Jeep Compass, the Jeep Wrangler, and the Nissan Pathfinder. How about driving? Blazer owners noted the overall driving experience and handling, and when I need to accelerate rapidly, it gets up and goes without hesitation. One Wrangler owner said the vehicle wanders on the highway to the degree that it is fatiguing and requires almost constant corrections. So the most satisfying cars for driving were the Mini Cooper Clubman, the Chrysler 300, the Mazda CX-5, the Chevrolet Blazer, and the Ford Expedition. The least satisfying driving were the Nissan Kicks, the Honda Clarity, the Jeep Compass, the Jeep Wrangler, and the Volkswagen Atlas. How about cabin storage? Model Y owners praised the storage. Conversely, a Q5 owner told us it needs more storage space front and rear. Another respondent elaborated further, noting that they would like more storage around the driver's seat, more cup holders, storage compartments. The most satisfying for cabin storage was the Volkswagen Tiguan, the Chrysler 300, the Toyota Sequoia, the Tesla Model Y, and the Lincoln Navigator. The least satisfying in that category are Jeep Compass, Chevrolet Malibu, GMC Arcadia, Audi Q5, and the Lexus GX. In-car electronics. Multiple Palisade owners praised the touchscreen with one saying that it's easy to learn display feature. Q50 owners lambasted the system with one owner saying the navigation system is so user-unfriendly, I routinely navigate using Google Maps on my iPhone. The most satisfying in that category was the Dodge Charger. The next was the Tesla Model S, the Hyundai Palisade, the Lincoln Corsair, and the Jeep Gladiator. The least satisfying mid-sized large cars were the Honda Clarity, mid-sized large car was the Lexus LS, then the Honda Pilot, then the Infiniti QX50, and the compact pickup, the Honda Ridgeline. Styling. Many owners of the CX-5 and CX-30 listed the styling as looks and the most attribute about their SUVs as did owners of the Telluride. One boat owner asked for a better, more stylish design, and another noted it's cute, but not very sexy. The most satisfying compact was the Honda Insight. Subcompact was the Mazda CX-30. The compact was the Mazda CX-5. The three-row SUV was a Kia Telluride, and the luxury three-row SUV was the Lincoln Navigator. The least satisfied to styling was the Chevrolet Bolt, subcompact Ford EcoSport, compact SUV, the Mitsubishi Outlander, and three-row SUV, the Nissan Pathfinder, and the luxury three-row SUV was the Infiniti QX60. The most liked and least liked brands. It's great news for car shoppers when an individual model stands out for high owner satisfaction. It's even better when an automaker manages to carry that magic across the entire brand lineup. We ask owners whether they'd buy their same car again if given the chance. Well, then we sorted those responses by vehicle brand, and we present them here with the overall brand average. The results show which brand's models are most and least satisfying to owners. The car shoppers can use this information to make more informed choices when deciding which 2021 models to consider. Note that some brands, such as Toyota, offer many models, and others, such as Chrysler and Ram, have just a couple. Tesla once again tops the list, joined by Lincoln, truck-only brand Ram, Chrysler, and Subaru at the top five. Genesis, one of our top-rated brands last year, did not have enough models to be sufficient sample to be considered this year. For all brands, most owners said they would buy their vehicle again, but owner satisfaction is just one factor that goes into Consumer Reports' overall score for each test good model we rate, along with safety, reliability, and road test scores. Some of the brands that score high for owner satisfaction don't rate well on other measures. For example, Tesla and Lincoln are near the top for owner satisfaction, but at the bottom of reliability ratings. The reverse is true for brands such as Buick, which has models that are reliable but relatively unsatisfying to their owners. And a few brands, such as Cadillac and Mercedes-Benz, are toward the bottom for both. Keep in mind that the least satisfying models or brands aren't necessarily the worst on the market. Rather, they didn't match customers' expectations. And here's a chart of the brands. Okay, would buy again, Tesla, Lincoln, Ram, Chrysler, Subaru, Hyundai, Porsche, Dodge, Mazda, Toyota, Kia, Mini, BMW, Ford, Audi, Honda, Volvo, Volkswagen, Lexus, Jeep, GMC, Chevrolet, Mercedes-Benz, Buick, Cadillac, Nissan, and Infiniti. And that is how they categorize each one from top to bottom. And the Cadillac and Nissan and Infiniti basically got almost negative scores. Really poor. Enjoy the car, but not the infotainment. We can help. Get rid of the touchpad, one Lexus owner told us when asked how she liked her car. Heated leather seat, supple suspension, silky smooth acceleration. None of it mattered because the systems she used every day to control audio, navigation, and phone connectivity proved so frustrating to use. Besides selling some vehicles with high ratings in other categories, Audi, Honda, Infiniti, Mazda, Mercedes-Benz, Mini, Subaru, and Toyota all joined Lexus at the bottom of our satisfaction ratings when it came to the ease of use for in-car electronics. So what's an unhappy owner to do? Start by asking for help. Some dealerships have dedicated experts who can walk owners through their car's menus and screens. Many automakers and dealers put tutorial videos online that show tips and tricks for how to use a car's controls. The owner's manual is a handy reference, too. Kelly Funkhauser, Program Manager for Vehicle Interface Testing at Consumer Reports, recommends practicing before heading out on the road. With so many features buried in menus, it's best to take some time while parked to find all of the settings, she says. Let your phone do most of the work if you can. Android Auto and Apple CarPlay put familiar audio, voice recognition, and navigation apps on your vehicle's screen so that you can completely avoid clunky built-in setups if you want to. Try before you buy. Spend by testing the infotainment system before committing. Many of the systems that scored poorly in our survey use laptop-like touchpads or rotary controllers, and our members preferred simpler systems with touchscreens. And many luxury brands score poorly because of systems that are more complex than they need to be. Luxury and expense doesn't equal easy to use, Funkhauser said. Learn the shortcuts. Most infotainment systems have multiple ways to perform functions. Find the ones that work for you. It may be some combination of steering wheel controls, voice recognition, and physical buttons. You can often arrange a touchscreen display to show your favorite features. Many cars also allow to use radio channel preset button to program a custom shortcut. Setting presets and favorites, even for your climate system, can save you time and headaches in the future. Owners love these cars, beside the flaws. Over many years, CEHAR has assessed cars and conducted surveys about them. We've observed some fairly clear patterns. For one, owners are almost always delighted with cars that make a distinct promise, such as stellar fuel economy, and then consistently deliver on it. Toyota Prius is a good example. Another is that owner satisfaction usually mirrors CR's own testing and our reliability survey results. People generally like cars that perform well, in other words, they don't like cars that come with headaches. Pretty intuitive stuff. But a handful of models buck these trends and simply don't line up as you expect. We sometimes cross across owners who say they're very satisfied with their vehicle, even while telling us about the significant reliability problems they've experienced. You might say some of these models have a cult-like following. Owners who find some unique feature or quality compelling enough that they're willing to overlook the vehicle's subpar reliability or other concerns. Jeep Wrangler, for example, has below average reliability in our most recent annual auto surveys. In our test, we found that it has a very stiff, uncomfortable ride and isn't very agile. Owners are equally dissatisfied with those qualities in other Jeep models. Yet they tell us time and time again that they love the Jeep experience so much that they would buy Wrangler and some other Jeeps again, even if they have to put up with the headaches and shortcomings. The entire Tesla family lineup falls firmly into this category. The Model S, Model Y, and Model X register among the highest owner satisfaction scores, despite being among the least reliable models in our survey. Tesla owners point to the quick acceleration, nimble handling, and pure electric drive to explain their passion to justify putting up with unreliable doors, Model X, and improperly applied paint, Model Y, among other problems across the lineup. Of course, we understand the impulse. Some of CR's own testers own unreliable vehicles because they feel passionate about their other qualities, such as acceleration or handling. Still, based on our testing and reliability surveys, we advise shoppers to carefully consider whether they should purchase these vehicles, particularly if they're going to rely on them for a primary transportation. While owners of these vehicles may be satisfied with their purchases, it doesn't always mean that you will be happy with the car too, says Jake Fisher, Senior Director of Auto Testing for Consumer Reports. This is especially true if they bought it primarily for a specific quality or feature that might not be very important for you. It's also important to keep in mind that these models that fall into this category are still under warranty when we ask owners each year about their satisfaction, so they're generally not paying out-of-pocket for repairs. Even so, we found that this intense owner allegiance can extend to used car versions, owners of which often continue to pay for maintenance and repairs long after the warranty has expired. Okay, let me give you a little heads up. That was last month's Consumer Report, so let's do this month's. And the first thing we'll do is the thing from Marta El Tolado, the president and CEO of CR, introducing CR's Green Choice. Deciding on the right car for you can prove to be a difficult decision with a seemingly never-ending expense of options. Our goal is too much of the heavy lifting for you to make that decision more manageable. Our team at Auto Test Center drives over 500,000 miles a year, putting vehicles through rigorous testing, gives you unbiased insights into the safety, efficiency, and performance of cars on the market today. With this year's annual auto issue, we are introducing an additional way to assist consumers in choosing the best possible vehicle, our Green Choice designation, which you'll see denoted by a green leaf in our ratings pages throughout this issue. In collaboration with the Environmental Protection Agency, we will now incorporate data to identify how vehicles stack up when it comes to the amount of greenhouse gas and other pollutants they emit. We've taken this step in part because of what we've heard from you. In January 2021, nationally representative CR survey of 2,223 adults, 61% said that tailpipe emissions are a very or somewhat important factor when they're choosing a car to purchase or lease. And, according to CR's analysis, vehicles with fewer greenhouse gas emissions also tended to help consumers save money on fuel. In fact, owners of electric vehicles are spending 60% less to power their vehicles than owners of conventional gas-powered models. What's exciting is that four of CR's top 10 picks for 2021 also meet our criteria for the new Green Choice designation. This shows that it is possible to create vehicles that are safe, reliable, and sustainable. We recognize the enormous trust you put in us to help you make this major decision, and we take that responsibility very seriously. With this additional focus on sustainability, we believe we're ensuring that your choice of a car is the right one for you and for the planet Earth. CR's 10 Top Picks for Cars. Each year, more than 250 models compete for the hearts, minds, and driveways of American car shoppers. At Consumer Reports, we rank the new models we buy and evaluate based on regimented performance tests and survey results from our members. Here we highlight the best of the best in our annual top pick standouts in popular price categories and types. These 10 models have earned their way into our list through outstanding performance in more than 50 tests at CR's Auto Test Center, as well as having solid marks for reliability and owner satisfaction in our member surveys. All have also scored well in the dynamic safety test, such as our challenging accident maneuver, and have tested, earned passing grades in crash assessments conducted by the federal government and the insurance industry. We put thousands of miles on each test car and evaluate them for how people actually use them, says Jake Fisher, head of auto testing at Consumer Reports. That means we care more about how your next car or SUV performs when it comes to safety, comfort, and fuel efficiency than how quickly they circle a racetrack. Each top pick has an overall score that's among the highest in its category, and a must-come standard with forward collision warning, FCW, and automatic emergency braking, AEB, with pedestrian detection proven features that prevent injuries and save lives by reducing collisions. The subcompact SUV category. It's the Mazda CX-30, priced from $22,000 to $35,000. Small, urban-friendly, CX-30 has a more spirited driving feel than its main rivals, with responsive handling and a firm ride. It out-accelerates most competitors, even with the base 2.5-liter four-cylinder, although that thrust creates some engine noise. In a class filled with joyless, continuously variable transmission, the car's conventional six-speed automatic delivers the satisfaction of the traditional shifts. A new turbo engine adds even more oomph to this mighty might. Its main superpower is the winning combination of key standard safety equipment and much better-than-average predicted reliability. The small car category is the Toyota Corolla, anywhere from $20,000 to $29,000. You might think that buying a budget-priced car means compromising on performance and comfort, but some inexpensive rides punch above their weight year after year when it comes to value. Case in point, the tried-and-true Corolla, which delivers terrific fuel economy, has more standard safety features than some cars at twice the price, and earns the top mark for predicted reliability. The core model is a sedan powered by a thrifty four-cylinder engine that delivers 33 miles per gallon overall and 45 miles per gallon on the highway. There's also an impressive hybrid version, a Green Choice, that earns 48 miles per gallon overall and 59 miles per gallon on the highway. Even with its extreme efficiency, this Corolla is enjoyable to drive. The steering is well weighted, there's lean when tracking corners, and the ride is among the best in the class. Want something spicier? Choose the sportier XEA trim with the nimble hatchback. Small SUV is a Subaru Forester, trading from $25,000 to $35,000. The Forester has been a top pick for 8 straight years. Clearly, Subaru knows what it's doing with small SUVs, and it hasn't deviated much from that winning formula over time. The Forester stands out by being so easy to live with. The tall roofline creates a spacious interior that seems to defy the exterior dimensions, and the large doors make for an easy access in and out. These facets combine to create the best outward visibility of any vehicle beyond a bicycle, making it easy to view the hood and the road around you. This adds an airy feeling, and it can help with parking. Fuel economy is impressive, especially for an SUV that isn't a diesel or a hybrid, and every Forester comes with a standard all-wheel drive system and a generous roster of active safety features. For the hybrid category, it's not a surprise, it's the Toyota Prius, from $25,000 to $33,000. For over two decades, the Prius Hybrid has set the standard for fuel-efficient cars. There are more competitors than ever now as other auto markets race to catch up, but none of them offer a high-efficiency model with such a balanced overall package. Sure, some might chase the 52 miles per gallon overall, but no rival can also replicate the Prius's top marks for reliability and owner satisfaction. Ultimately, that's the highest praise. It speaks volumes that such a mechanically complex car can deliver rock-solid reliability and thrill owners year after year. Recent innovations include an all-wheel drive option and the Prius Prime, a nicely outfitted plug-in version that gives 25 miles of electric-only range. If you want to spend less time at the pump and the repair shop, this is the car to buy. The midsize sedan is the Toyota Camry, from $25,000 to $36,000. The Camry fends off would-be challengers with a mix of efficiency, performance, and reliability. This solid choice is newly available with all-wheel drive. Looking for extremely reliable family transport on a budget? The base Camry comes with a litany of key safety and driver-assistant features. Its four-cylinder engine is energetic and frugal, with 32 miles per gallon overall. For a sporty experience, the SE and XSE bring a more expressive interior, tauter suspension, and more athletic character. Want to burn even less fuel? The hybrid gets a stunning 47 miles per gallon overall and has quick acceleration. The SUV or wagon is the Subaru Outback, $27,000 to $40,000. Is it a wagon or an SUV? Who cares? The Outback definitely balances car-like driving manners and efficiency with SUV-like functionality. It's a do-it-all vehicle with broad appeal and hiking boot styling. It has a comfortable interior, generous passenger space, a roomy cargo section, and clever rails in the roof rack that swing across when needed and stow neatly to the side to become more aerodynamic when not. The Outback has a ride that outshines some luxury models in the way it swallows bumps. All models have ample ground clearance and standard all-wheel drive, making them ready for light off-pavement adventures. The XT has effortless acceleration for an extra kit in the keister. For a midsize SUV, it's the Lexus RX, $45,000 to $58,000. The RX continues to set the standard for the midsize luxury SUV segment, serving up a combination of comfort, performance, safety, and reliability that can't be beat. Everything about the RX is smooth and luxurious, from the plush ride to the hush cabin and wide, supple seats. The base engine is a silky V6 that packs power, but the real treat is the hybrid. It feels quicker with more immediate response from the electric motors and delivers an impressive 29 miles per gallon overall. For those who crave and get more elan, there's an F-Sport variant with more supportive seats and some added flair. Lexus continues to make upgrades to the RX, even though this generation has been on sale for a few years. The addition of blind spot warning and rear cross-traffic warning as standard equipment make it even more desirable. For those who need three rows, there's a slightly longer L version with a small third-row seat. For the midsize three-row SUVs, the Kia Telluride, $33,000 to $45,000. Last year, the Telluride became the new benchmark for three-row SUVs thanks to its thoughtful, no-compromise design. Now in its second year as a top pick list, it still dominates this popular segment with a stellar road test and overall score. And surveys show that the owners love it. This isn't a model that thrives on flash. Instead, it stands out by being highly competent in nearly every way. The large, upright design gives it easy access and broad visibility. The cabin is spacious and the controls are simple. The seats are comfortable in each row, with the front and second row being especially accommodating. The powertrain trims a V6 with a conventional 8-speed automatic transmission to create effortless power, which contributes to a quiet interior or on a par with an ultra-luxury model. Plus, the ride is supple and handling is secure. The Telluride delivers a lot of SUV for the money. For an electric car, the Tesla Model 3, priced from $38,000 to $55,000. The Model 3 delivers an otherworldly driving experience with punchy acceleration that comes in a quiet surge. In our test, it reached 60 miles per hour in 5.3 seconds, quicker than a Dodge Challenger V8. This uncanny performance is matched with sharp handling and precise steering befitting a sports sedan. The minimalist interior has a futuristic design aesthetic with a massive 15-inch touchscreen that's used for most controls. But the screen is distracting to use. Innovation abounds with the keyless access to Tesla's ability to send over-the-air updates that continue to add features as well as the car is bought, well after the car is bought. Another notable Tesla advantage is being able to charge relatively quickly on the go. Being green has never been so much fun. The compact pickup truck is the Honda Ridgeline. That's from $36,500 to $44,000. Many pickup trucks are proud, hulking brutes, but these commercial-grade monsters are overkill for many suburbanites and weekend warriors. That's where the genius of the Ridgeline comes in. This highly innovative, newly updated truck could haul dirt, bikes, and throw a smaller trailer, but it was designed to excel in the daily commute, with room for family and a clever lined bed that practically does magic tricks. Swing open or fold down the tailgate, and you can access a lockable underbed storage box that can double as a cooler. Some versions offer a unique built-in bed sound system for tailgating. The 3.5-liter V6 is a slick and powerful engine. At 20 miles per gallon overall in our test, the Ridgeline is also the most fuel-efficient truck that's not diesel or hybrid-powered, and the ride is comfortable and composed. And this next category is very interesting. It's for tall and short drivers. In some cars, shorter drivers may struggle to reach the pedals and steering wheel while maintaining good visibility. In others, taller drivers may feel cramped. That's why CR put testers of height from just over 5 feet tall to over 6 feet behind the wheel to evaluate access, driving position, front seat comfort, and visibility. We even found some models that both fit tall and short drivers share comfortably. For tall drivers, the Audi A6, the Honda Pilot, the Audi Q3, and the Porsche Cayenne. For short drivers, the Lexus ES, the Hyundai Palisade, the BMW X3, the Toyota Avalon, and the Volvo XC90. And then the mixtures that anybody can drive are the Ford Expedition, Mercedes-Benz C-Class, the Subaru Forester, the Subaru Legacy, and the Kia Soul. How about bargain hunters? The average new car costs up to $38,000, but the vehicles below are rental for much less. They boost solid reliability and high CR road test scores, plus standard forward collision warning, and automatic emergency braking, blind spot warning. BSW either comes with these or as an option that doesn't push the overall price above $30,000. Small cars, the Toyota Prius, Toyota Prius Prime, the Toyota Corolla, the Nissan Sentra, the Toyota Corolla Hatchback, and the Mazda X3. For sporty cars, the Honda Veloster or the Mazda MX-5 Miata. For mid-sized cars, it's Toyota Camry, the Nissan Altima, the Subaru Legacy, the Kia X5, the Mazda A6, the Volkswagen Passat, the Hyundai Sonata. And for small SUVs, it's Subaru Forester, the Honda CR-V, the Mazda CX-5, the Hyundai Kona, the Kia Sportage, the Mazda CX-30, or the Mazda CX-3. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thank you so much for listening.